This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hey, this is Arvind Yuvraj, and you're listening to Open for Business. And I'll be joined in a bit by Ganhui Sien. She's the founder and principal of Seed Autism Services, which is an early childhood center that uses ABA, or Applied Behavior Analysis, to educate children with autism and similar issues on the spectrum. Now, Sien has been on the show before, by the way. It was back in June last year, and we spoke about the challenges of the MCO on a company like Seed. And I wanted to have a follow-up chat now just to see what the last 8 months have been like and the impact of these ongoing lockdowns on and off, as well as Seed's focus on bridging the professional gap in this very neat space. Sien, thanks so much for virtually joining us today.
Thank you, Arvind.
Good to have you. And, you know, I want to start with going back to when we last spoke. So we last spoke about 8 months ago, and I think we had just come out of the first MCO at that time.
Yes.
So how much has changed at Seed since then? And could you give us like a brief overview of everything that has happened since we last spoke?
We've gotten back, we're full on now. So we're back to providing services, full services. So we're working with our kids. The only thing that's different is we went back and forth with opening the center and closing the center. And then we just decided to keep it closed for now, mainly because we don't have a lot of parents requesting for center-based sessions at the moment. So we've decided that that's the best thing to do to keep everyone safe and to limit exposure. So the center has stayed closed. But you know, we're back to kind of back to normal as it can get. And then we're doing a lot of, I remember the last time we spoke, I talked a lot about trainings and workshops and all that stuff. So we're doing a lot of that now.
I see. Okay. So just looking at it from a different angle, do you think that this whole pandemic has made you look at solutions in unique ways? Because many businesses have said that it's very challenging, mm-hmm. but the one good thing is they were able to innovate and look for unique ways to run their business. So has that happened to you or with you at Seed? What are your thoughts?
In regards to what we teach our students, yes, that has, you know, we have included a couple things that we've never thought of including. For example, teaching our students how to use devices, how to engage with somebody on the other side of their device. So we have included some different programs. I think you call that different programs when it comes to working with our kids. But in terms of business-wise and in terms of our company, mission and vision, that hasn't really changed very much. We're still pretty much on track. But I do want to just share with you, Arvind, a little bit on not so much of a pivot, but more of a continuation and extension of what Seed is currently doing.
Mm-hmm.
So Seed has been around for 8 years, right? The last time we spoke, we briefly talked about background, you know, my background in Seed. And our focus has always been on improving the quality of ABA services so that we can better serve the children and the families we work with. So the thing is, at Seed, we never stop learning. We're always looking at ways to fine-tune our processes so that we can be more effective, you know, and efficient in what we do. So we require all our staff to be credentialed by the Behavior Analyst Certification Board. So that's just a board that credential people who uses the signs of ABA with the client that they work with. So that means that we have to go through formal training, receive continuous supervision for the work that we do, sit for exams, and continue to learn so that we can meet the requirement to renew our credential. And so we're always trying to raise the standard within Seed because, you know, we're just not able to serve as many children and families as we would like to. And the reason for that is because there is a big professional gap in our industry. So unlike the field of psychology, where, you know, there are many local universities and colleges providing those courses and providing supervision, the field of special education, that's the field we're in, is mm-hmm. still very much at an infancy stage. So, you know, when we're interviewing, we often find that the people that we're interviewing are either fresh grads from the field of special education or psychology, and they may have theoretical knowledge, but they really lack in practical experiences. And so this, it makes hiring very, very difficult, and it takes a lot of resources to train someone new. And we know that this is not a situation that is unique just to Seed. We know that there are a lot of other service providers who are also experiencing similar changes, similar challenges. So, you know, we're hoping that we could play a role in plugging that professional gap.
Yeah, so that's something that I wanted to ask you and expand on a bit as well, because it's something that we chatted about off air, you wanting to plug that huge professional gap, mm-hmm. right? So when did you realize that that was an issue and that was a gap that you wanted to tackle? This also goes to another question that I had about, you know, does the gap in the market ever change? Because you might have started out wanting to tackle one issue, and then you realize along the way that there are other things that you can sort of work on as an industry player, but also as a business yourself.
Well, there, you know, in Seed, there are two E's, and the two E stands for educate and to empower. So that has always been our mission at Seed, is to educate and empower. It could be the clients that we work with, the learners that we work with, but also the families and people within the communities and, you know, other professionals. So we've been, for the past 8 years, we've been really focusing on the quality of our services, on making ourselves better and improving our quality, providing evidence-based intervention to our clients. So that has always been, you know, our focus. And, you know, we really want to train, or rather Seed a generation of very, very good practitioners, because we know we just can't scale fast enough because of that, you know, the gap that we're talking about, from there is no proper courses, or there is no specific degree, and there is no practicum or fieldwork supervision, fieldwork experiences that people who are interested in working with the autism population, for example, have to go through, right, before they come out and look for jobs. We just thought that, okay, you know, 8 years now, and we're still at, you know, 20 employees, and you know, we've gotten really good, and we've really improved our processes, and we really improved our clinical skills, but we can really only do so much, right?
You know, to that point, when we spoke last time, I didn't ask you so much about awareness, mm-hmm. like locally in schools and even universities, colleges. Do you think there's enough awareness from an education standpoint on the needs of children and young adults with autism?
Yes, but there's always room for more awareness. I think, you know, compared to 10 years ago, things have changed a lot. People are a lot more aware. They're making modifications. They are thinking twice. And I think that's one of the things that we need to work on a lot more in Malaysia with our education system, is that schools still allow to turn away children who have special needs if they feel they don't have the resources to work with them. But yeah, you know, like, people are thinking twice. Can we, do we have enough resources? Do we have the ability and the capability to work with these learners? So the awareness there, but I think a lot of times they're saying no, a lot of times they're not doing the right thing. It's because they don't have that knowledge, or they're not aware of what's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And that's the gap that I'm talking about. It's the awareness is there. People know that, you know, these are the characteristics of individuals with autism at different ages. And, you know, these are the things that we can do to include them. But it's just not happening enough. And I think that has to do with education. They're just not trained to do that.
So I've got a few questions that I want to get through and I want to ask, but we need to take a quick break for some messages. But stick around. I am speaking to Gan Hui Sien. She is the founder and principal of Seed Autism Services. This is Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business on BFM 89.9. Arvin here with Sien. She is the founder of Seed Autism Services. We're talking about plugging the professional gap when it comes to educators in this very niche space. So, you know, in like a normal situation now, there seems to be so much demand and not enough supply, like you mentioned. Yeah. And in a regular situation now, how are the learners being educated if they don't have enough educators to sort of teach them in the way that they need? Outside of Seed, I mean.
Well, I think a lot of them are being trained on the job. You know, just like how Seed is doing, where a lot of them are being trained on the job, and the problem is that there may be lacking in terms of you know, I mentioned this the last time, that accountability piece, right? That you know, learners go into centers or they go into schools and they go through year after year, and you know, there is no rhyme or reason to why they're moving from one year to the next, and that gap could be getting bigger, and sometimes we just look back and say that, oh, you know, well, we're working with a child with special needs, we're working with, you know, a student with special needs, so it's because they have special needs and that's why they're not progressing, and I think that's a huge problem. Right, because our job is to help them learn. Our job is to help them progress. So, in you know, coming back to your question about how's that happening, you know, outside of Seed, I can't really tell for sure how things are happening because I'm not within. I don't work in these centers, but I do know that things can be better. I do know that when practitioners have the knowledge and the skills, and if they are educated and they're empowered with these tools and skills and strategies, they can serve their learners better. And I know this, well, I guess I do know this. We have been offering these courses, these 40-hour courses called the Registered Behavior Technician courses to people within the community. And they can be teachers, grandparents, administrators, parents, or sometimes siblings, and they have come back to me and say it has made a huge difference in what they do, and that's really comforting because it means that we are able to a certain extent get our best practices out there, and people can then immediately apply what they've learned with the learner that they work with. So I think what we want to do is to do more of that. And that's what we'll be focusing on.
I see. Okay. So moving into a more, you know, the business and finance side of things, revenue-wise, how has Seed been doing this last year? And maybe that's a silly question because everyone has been doing quite badly now and then. Everyone's been hit. But just curious, like overall, positive, negative, anything surprising?
We came back a lot quicker than we expected. That we would. So obviously we weren't providing services and there weren't revenue for a couple months when it was a complete shutdown. That was probably back in March last year. Mm-hmm. But I think we did pretty well in coming back. And I think families are really looking at getting us back as soon as we can to working with your children. We have a lot of new intake inquiries, and that could be people are just, maybe it was a backlog and people just couldn't, go out there and get assessments done. But now things have loosened up a little bit and they're able to do that. So intake has really gone up quite a bit in the last couple of months. Yeah. And that too is one of the reasons why we're thinking, you know, sometimes we just don't have the resources to take in a new kid or a new, you know, a new client. And then that's when we talk to parents about, hey, you know, there's this alternative. You could do these courses, you know, you can empower yourself. And then we're thinking about reaching out to parents so that that learner can, to teachers and administrators, that a learner can benefit from whatever environment they're in right now, whatever learning environment they're in right now.
Right. Okay. Are there any plans, you know, with digital transformation being everywhere now, are there any plans for Seed to go completely online or have like a completely online extension of itself, you know, because there's more reach with the internet, or is that not conducive for the kind of teaching and the kind of educating that you're doing?
Not for the teaching, not for the working one-on-one with the students. I mean, we've experienced going online with them, and some of them have really benefited from that. But, you know, there is nothing like that one-on-one physical interaction and really getting that social piece in and teaching that social piece with our kids, because, you know, a lot of the kids that we work with are on the spectrum. They have autism, and it's that social piece that they have, you know, that's a huge deficit in that area. So working online with them, there's a lot of things that we miss out, you know, like body language. Sometimes, you know, attending to a screen is just very different from, you know, looking at the whole entire person and what they're doing and what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's possible to go, you know, completely online with what we're doing, especially with those very young learners. We're looking at, you know, 18 months, 2 years old. they can't manage, you know, even sitting down in front of the computer. So no, absolutely not. We're still prefer going into their space, you know, getting down on our knees and really engaging with them and build skills from there on. But the dissemination piece, the part where we're trying to really share our best practices, I think that can be done online. That can be done online. So the training piece, the webinars, the, you know, getting ourselves involved with schools and other different centers, I think that can be done online.
Mm-hmm. Any new challenges that you've been facing over the last 8 months? You mentioned a couple just now. Anything other than these ups and downs with the pandemic and stuff that you've encountered?
It was a really steep learning curve. So whatever we've learned and encountered over the past few months, we have found ways to overcome them quite effectively. And I think, you know, thanks to the science, I mean, we don't just use it, utilize that with our kids that we work with, but we use it ourselves. So trying to analyze situation and try to figure out what we can do better and working with our clients and families. And so I think we have learned a lot. And so we have enough tools and strategies to work with all these challenges. I think we're at a pretty good place right now.
Good to know. Mm-hmm. So last question, Sian. We always end with the expansion plans, and you mentioned a couple of expansion plans as well. But because we are still early in the year, early in 2021, are there any big expansion plans other than the ones that you've mentioned for Seed? What's on the horizon for you?
This is our mission right now. I mean, we're going to continue. We're always going to be working with the kids. We're always going to be getting our hands dirty and getting down on our knees. And that's what we do best. And we'll continue to do that. But, you know, expansion plan, if we could think about expansion plan in terms of getting, you know, the science out there and, you know, sharing our best practices and all that, I think we do have, you know, a plan, and that's, we want to see, you know, these best practices implemented with children and families across centers. We want to see them done in different states, in various communities. We want to see, you know, families receiving quality intervention where, no matter where they are. And, you know, our goal is to really just carry the whole industry forward at this point in time. So we're also talking to some universities and colleges, looking at how we can begin to address and minimize the professional gap at that level. So lots of exciting stuff coming up for us. And it's exciting because it really is aligned with what we want to do. And I think we finally is able to start working on it.
Awesome. Sian, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Arvin. Thank you.
Right, that was Gan Hui, Sian, founder of Seed Autism Services. You can stream this interview again via podcast on the BFM website or the BFM app on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast fix. This has been Arvin Yuvaraj on Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.